Game of Microphones is brought to you by CMG Podcasts. What you are about to hear is a hyper-condensed version of Game of Microphones episode 110, covering the Game of Thrones season 8 premiere, Winterfell. Comprised of highlights and bloopers from our full episode, clips are out of context and may be out of sequence. For the full episode, go to gameofmicrophones.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Spoilers ahead.
What do dragons eat, anyway?
Whatever they want.
And now, from the crypts of Winterfell, it's your favorite podcast of Thrones, Game of Microphones, with Sir Duncan and Lady Rachel. Winter is here.
Joining us today is a special guest, Lord Matt of House Christensen, champion of liberty.
What was this at the wall? What was this, like, thing of dismembered body parts and the screaming
the
kid?
Spiral.
Like, that was, yeah. That freaked me out when that thing started screaming and they lit it on fire.
The opening scene with little Ned Umber.
Oh, nice.
Running through the forest, and I kind of dubbed it the flashback that's not a flashback.
Right, it was so cool how they totally mirrored that pilot episode scene.
They even have the Baratheon music playing.
I know, I noticed that too. What the hell?
Like, what the hell?
Yeah. So,
the graphics and the intro, to me, I've never really looked that deep into the subtleties of them to try to interpret them, but
yeah,
for me
here.
It's like, as long as that intro music doesn't change, I don't care.
Right, yeah, yeah.
As long as that stays the same, because it hits just as good as Star Wars or anything else does, and it, as far as setting the stage for any show or movie experience, Game of Thrones is up there. You wonder what it would be like if it had some lame, crappy song,
yeah.
You know, or just like ruined the vibe. But I actually just found online the other day, randomly browsing around, but I found a little music box, like little manufactured music boxes, and you crank it, and it's the Game of Thrones theme and little chimes.
Sick.
I'm waiting for that to come in the mail.
Oh, nice.
Just because, you know, when the show's not on anymore. Have that in the future as a mantelpiece or something.
I noticed that
it's my alarm clock in the morning.
Oh man, I might have to do that.
Sansa needs to get that stick out of her ass. I mean, like, I love Sansa. She's been growing on me as a character, but my God, this episode, I just kind of wanted to slap her and just be like, open up a little bit.
It just
Torrhen
Stark. Yeah, he knelt to a Targaryen, to Aegon the Conqueror. So it's like a sort of history repeating itself. Finally, the Northern Kingdom gets its own autonomy and sovereignty. And then all of a sudden, this foreign ruler comes in with dragons and is like, fuck all you guys, we're taking this back. You know, like, so it makes sense for them to be real fucking mad.
For Sansa, too, it'd be, as far as I recall, I don't remember her providing a better plan. Maybe I missed that. That's kind of what's annoying. It's like, I get where you're coming from, but...
Right.
You're right. It's a bad plan. What's your plan?
Unless you have... even the part in this episode where she's kind of bitter, like, well, I didn't plan to feed these armies, and what do dragons even eat? Like, well, good problem to have that you have dragons.
Right.
We'll figure out how to feed them. Well, of all the things I love about the show, it's like... I mean, nobody's safe in Game of Thrones, so that's the best part. The people you love might die. But every death is so emotionally involved, because you have cases like Joffrey, where you've been waiting for it forever, and it's the best. It delivers. You get to see his weird, purple,
yes,
stupid face. And then every other character that you love, that you're so emotionally invested in, you can't believe they kill off, like Ned Stark in the first season.
Spoiler alert. Yeah,
fantasy,
I don't even know.
Medieval.
Kings and queens and dragons and all. That's never been my thing. So I always thought, like, that's some nerd crap. But then
same here, man.
I had some people tell me to get into it. So I actually did not watch it until the end of season 7.
Oh, and wow. Season 7.
Yeah.
Damn.
And the first episode of Game of Thrones is like such a punch in the face that it's like, okay, really? Because I had no spoilers. I mean, I knew there was like, I knew that incest was a thing in the show and stuff, but I guess I just didn't expect such immediate exposure to such adult themes. Let's put it that way.
Hilarious. Unbelievable.
For sure.
And so I was like, all right, I mean, okay, I can get into this. When you binge it the way I did, when you want to know the answer to what happens, you have that immediate gratification.
Yep.
Now,
oh my God,
now I'm watching it in the same, everybody who watches week by week, it's like, I'm really thirsty.
I didn't sleep last night.
Welcome
I watched it twice last night.
Oh, you watched it through twice.
I did. I watched it with my husband and he called out some things like, he immediately called out who Bran was waiting for.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, oh my God.
That was so cool. Yeah. I was like, an old friend, huh? I wonder what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Should have known. It's so obvious.
My husband said, he goes, they need a little bit of happiness because I think there's going to be a lot of death, a lot of destruction, a lot of main characters are going to get killed off. So I
think
we as an audience may look back on this episode as a fond, like, farewell to these characters.
Yeah, but that was also why that was cool. There's pretty much no Jaime Lannister until he shows up and just has this kind of eye glance back and forth with Bran Stark.
Epic stare down too. Oh my. And the look on Jaime's face.
Oh my God.
What a performance there. Wow. I was amazed at all the emotion that he was managing to capture with just that stare. And the moment where he like turns around and pulls his hood off, it sort of reminded me of the reveal of Luke Skywalker in Star Wars Episode 7 right at the end. He turns around with a hood and does the same thing. Maybe it was a slight homage to that. That's one thing we like doing is pointing out homages to other shows and movies we can find.
Is that common in Game of Thrones? I guess I haven't noticed a ton of them, but as I said, I'm not the biggest movie buff to know what might be a nod and what wouldn't be.
Yeah, there's been a bunch. Yeah, definitely. Like there was one where Stannis tells Jon. No, Jon tells Stannis, I was told to keep your enemies close. And Stannis is like, whoever said that didn't have many enemies. So that's like a Godfather reference. Keep your friends close, your enemies closer, you know?
Oh, I see.
I was listening to Game of Microphones because my son likes to listen to it, but he's 2.5 and he's picking up on all the cuss words that we use. So
he's a cunt, mommy. That guy's a cunt.
And Nikolai Coster-Waldau just nailed it. I mean, absolutely nailed that performance. He's just kind of scanning Winterfell. It's been almost a decade, or, you know, I guess in our world, it's been almost a decade since he's been to Winterfell. But he's kind of looking around and
smiling. You know, he was smiling when he looked around Winterfell. Yeah.
He's probably having, you know, memories. And then he scans over and there's this creeper sitting in a wheelchair, like, just still
staring at him.
Bran was creeping a lot in this episode.
So many, like looking up at Tyrion too, and he was standing on the second story after talking with Sansa.
Yes.
Bran is he's a great creeper, dude. He's got creeping down.
Creep like Bran.
Lurk like Arya. Creep like Bran.
Dude, I like it.
That's great. So what happens after the Battle of Winterfell? Does Winterfell fall and they're forced to retreat to King's Landing and that's what happens next?
I think they're going to be forced to retreat to the Iron Islands.
Oh, the Iron Islands. How about the Eyrie? Oh, that would make sense. Sansa has connections there.
The Eyrie.
Oh, the dragons.
The dragon.
But the Iron Islands also.
Yeah, but the Army of the Dead can't swim.
Well, so that doesn't mean they can't walk on the ocean floor and all come walking out together. I think that's a red herring, you know, like they specifically asked it. You know, Euron was like, can they swim? And Jon's like, no. So they baited us. They baited us into thinking islands are safe. But there's all the like those lines from the books. What is it? Patchface says something about dead things in the water and stuff like that. So,
oh my God, like that song.
Yeah. There's it's always summer and... under the sea. Yeah, I know. Oh.
Oh my God.
So it's entirely possible. Yeah, it's entirely possible that we could have the fucking Army of the Dead come marching out of the water and just take everybody by surprise.
That would be such a mind fuck for me because I feel like I want there to be some safety.
Like, there's no safety.
Okay. oh my God, my dog just scared the shit out of me.
Outtake of
bloopers. I have my window open and it shut the door. And I'm home alone, so I totally freaked out.
This is going to be fun doing video with the bloopers and outtakes and stuff. People will be able to see how they're like cut together and stuff.
Oh, shit. So, and you know, Sansa being the Lady of Winterfell now, she's like, she's lurking somewhere.
Lurking.
You know, like, who Love knows it. Where Arya is. She's always lurking.
And she is, too.
You have a lurker and a creeper.
And a brooder or moper would be Jon, right?
Yeah, totally.
Bronn being hired to kill Jaime and Tyrion.
What the fuck, dude? Bronn, the betrayer. God.
Yeah, well, yes. He hasn't done it yet.
Not sure. I was just going to say, I'm jumping to conclusions, but
this may be the seeds of his undoing, though.
I didn't recognize the other two, but I recognized her because she's in the orgy scene.
I may have been looking at other things besides their faces.
Okay, well, you can look. I'm not going to look at that. That's weird.
I was concerned because Sam had just found out the truth about the toasted Tarleys, you know, the toasted Tarly truth. And
it's just like, I think it's going to be a really tough pill to swallow for Danny. It's really tough for John, obviously, which we get in this scene. But I think she is not going to take it very well.
Oh my God. I'm so nervous.
And so
Fuck you, HBO.
Mind blown. Oh. Little moments here and there. We'll
like
get
Ned
to, like,
Umber popping his head out.
Oh, that was so okay. He's like,
Yeah. Or the montage of guys getting crossbowed in the head when Theon attacks the boat.
And the eunuch joke. Which is like what we start out the episode with. That's the first line of the whole episode. So Sam falls down the crypt steps.
I couldn't believe that. That was so cool.
John's like,
loved that.
What the fuck was that? And you hear, oh, and he's like trying to get up.
Yeah, we got lots of good Sam, like, oh, and like, oh my, and things like that this episode. Like when he almost gets hit by that horse and carriage right after he finds out the toasted Tarly truth and is walking down the steps. He's like, oh, like freaks out. Oh.
So,
Massima,
something like that. Yeah.
And she fucking,
please.
She had Dario lop his head off in front of the crowd. And remember they all reacted hissing at her. Oh, that was creepy. It was funny too, right when he says your mother was Lyanna Stark, John kind of goes as if like, yeah, right, like
they hooked up, like Ned and Lyanna.
I didn't even think about it that way, but just like, oh, you guys are like conspiracy theorizing about like for some reason alternate John origin theories. He's like, we know I'm a bastard, my dad's Ned, like what are you talking about, right?
Like, what would your reaction be to that? Like,
he stumbles backwards.
My parents aren't my parents, okay, whatever, but I'm not Jon Snow.
I'm Aegon Targaryen.
Name, like, I'm not even Jon Targaryen. Like,
he literally knows. And this is that moment where I talked about where, like, we have the theme of Jon Snow knows nothing. And this is how we learn here how little he really knows. Like, he literally knows nothing, even about himself. Nothing. You know, he doesn't even know his name. And this is Jon Snow knows nothing. And plus the whole Jon Snow, John Doe type thing where like you use John Doe to as a placeholder for a name when you don't know the identity of a victim of a crime, for instance. So it's perfect knowing nothing. And also the John Doe hint, like combining those two together, like, I don't know. It's just so funny seeing him learn the truth and realize how little he knows about everything.
I'm just waiting for Cersei to die. That's all I really want.
So Matt mentioned earlier, like, these big deaths that we wait seasons for and how, like, we get to finally the purple wedding and Joffrey gets killed and we're all like, are we going to get that moment for Cersei? Are we going to get that? Or is she going to live? You know what I mean? Like, are we going to get it?
I thought to myself, she's talking about executing people. And the next scene we get was Bronn.
Don't do it, Cersei.
Dude, you can make eunuch jokes, but no one else can make dork jokes. Like, why is that?
Because I still have my balls.
I have balls.
And you don't. Yeah, that was great. So, like, you, it basically, it's just saying, like, it sucks when somebody's making fun of you for something, but...
Yeah, it's okay. Like, don't worry. We're not here to, like, roast you alive. We're just here to save your lives. So, I think that also might be the reason why she smiles a little bit here. It's just nice mug right there to the others. That's awesome. I would love to like cosplay Sansa, but I'm not sure I could do that resting bitch face like she does.
And
look at you.
Yeah, you're a
man.
Almost. I'm almost a man, but I am partly a three-eyed raven computer, you know.
Download data.
And she calls Lord Umber, who pops his head out. Another little comedic moment in this episode.
And they all kind of like nod, like, it's okay. You know, you can have as many wagons and stuff as we can spare. Just hurry back to the last hearth so you can get murdered.
Yeah, fuck.
So the first time I watch it through, I just watch it with my natural, like, where my eye goes. And then wherever my eye doesn't go, the second time I watch it is where I try to force my eye to go the other places that I'm not paying attention to the first watch. So the good second plan. Time I watched it, I look in the background, like who's behind the scenes, who's behind, who are we seeing, like what's kind of happening, what's going on around what the camera is focusing on,
mm-hmm.
because like that's where like last episode I talked about Varys being like a comedic factor in the big meeting. He's really not an upfront person, and if you're just watching the people that are in focus on the camera, you would miss his reactions. So yep. I do like trying to pay attention to the what's going on behind the main character.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. We have the biggest, most powerful army the world has ever seen showing up to have your backs, guys. Like, be cool with that, because it's super cool of us to do. Don't forget that you're in the family, too. That was the most shocking moment for me. This was the most badass moment for me. You know, where Danny is just like, dragons eat whatever the fuck they want. Yeah. You should know that.
Like,
you know, what did you didn't get the memo?
Snarky little bitch.
Yeah, like we'll devour you if we want to.
You know what? If you don't want our help, I'll just take them all home. And you.
Gendry's a smith. He's now forging dragon glass. I was thinking maybe he's going to do some experimenting and try mixing steel and dragon glass together to forge dragon steel, maybe like a modern iteration of dragon steel. So instead of like outright apologizing, she kind of apologizes by saying like, we both survived though, you know, like, sorry.
Okay.
So,
let bygones be bygones.
Oh, I thought it was interesting too that the fact that she thought that he was the most clever man alive was interesting to me. Like, that means that she considered him in high regard. You know, that's what that says to me. So that says to me that means that he could prove that he is, you know, one of the most clever men alive by redeeming himself and doing something awesome. And that makes me think that these two have the potential of actually getting together for real at some point.
Oh, shit. You well, because Danny's off the radar now because she's with Jon, and Tyrion saw that happen. I mean, he was in the boat with her and watched Jon go in. So maybe he's turning his sights back to Sansa.
Maybe like the two leaders would be together. Then the two of like the closest advisors would be together.
Yeah. It'd be quite a little powerhouse.
It would certainly be a way to help unite the North. I mean, the Northern Lords have come to trust Sansa after everything that's happened and how she stood up for them and been there and helped get Winterfell back and everything. So maybe her being like, listen, you know, I trust Tyrion That could do go a long way
or
with
I'm
the Northern
marry
Lords.
Him again.
Yeah, that could go a long way with the Northern Lords to bring the North and the South together to unite them. Mm-hmm. And we see the wheel in the view and then looking right mm-hmm. past the wheel to Jaime, and we see him like react and see Bran sitting there. I thought it was just a really great
shot.
There's
like a double take. He's like, What? I have terrible news.
Terrible news.
The dead have broken through the wall.
And Cersei's like
good.
Yeah,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
And even Qyburn seemed shocked by this reaction from Cersei, because even he had said it was terrible news. So if Qyburn even is like, whoa, you know, it's got to be something fucked up, right?
Yeah. Why don't you just get it over with and kill me? He's like, no, we're family. We're the last Greyjoys without any ball or with balls.
Plus, who would I have to talk to? And she's like, you're an idiot, man. You picked the fucking losing side with that dumbass queen.
Then I'll bail and sail the Iron Fleet somewhere else. But first, I'm going to fuck the queen. And I thought that was kind of maybe reading between the lines, like, well, I'm going to sail to the Iron Fleet somewhere else after I fuck her over.
Yeah, I'm going to fuck her and then I'm going to fuck her over.
He's going to fuck her and then he's going to fuck her over and leave.
Love it. That's
so
awesome.
That's what I kind of like took it as. Did you see Captain Strickland's face? He just like shakes his head. This guy's a fucking idiot.
Love it.
Really wanted those elephants.
Yeah, totally. Because we were like, we want the dragons, we want the elephants, we want the pack of wolves and the direwolves, and we want like all this cool stuff. We just give it to us all. Krakens, you know, unleash the hounds, everything.
Totally.
Ice spiders, undead mammoths, giants. Like, we want everything.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. So next, it's after they just had sex, Euron and Cersei. We see the deed
really
is done.
Those elephants.
Yeah. And then he's insulting Robert. You know, that, hey, like, how do I compare to that fat
king? What a
king?
Freak. Like, who cares how you compare?
He's just like being wild. And then he's like asking about, like, how do I compare to Jaime? I know you guys have been doing it.
I think that's really what he wants to know.
Yeah. He's just leading into it.
So we cut over to the bow and arrow. That's right. I was going to say, Theon has his bow again. He, like you said last episode.
Oh my God, that's a big symbol. Theon with a bow.
Yeah, he was an expert marksman.
He was a hot shot. He was a hot shot with a bow.
He's getting kind of back into his role of Theon Greyjoy.
Remember when he saved Bran?
Yeah.
And Rob was like, yeah, he shot that guy. Like,
my brother.
Yeah, but Theon's an expert and he knew it, you know? So the fact that Theon is holding a bow again, that symbolizes that Theon Greyjoy is back. It's not somebody else. This is Theon. And he, like, that door kicks open and the guy falls in and Yara looks up in astonishment. Last thing on earth she would ever imagine.
And she's kind of pissed, obviously, because she headbutts him in the face once he sets her free.
Loved it.
And
but then immediately, like, it's like Stannis, you know, cut your knuckles off for your smuggling, but he'll raise you to be a lord for helping him out.
Damn it, you fucked me over, but I still love you.
But you're making up for it. And Dany hops on and she's like, come on.
Come on, let's go. And he's like, I don't know how to ride a dragon. She's like, dude,
nobody
you were
does.
Just riding me last night. So I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
This is cool. Oh, it was funny that it took off so quick because it reminded me of this time where I was sitting on a motorcycle on like a little motorized scooter, ring, 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 revving it up. And my friend's dad flicked it into gear and it launched. Launched out from under me. I had to bail off it. That was pretty funny. You've completely ruined horses for me. And it made me think, ooh, dragons are the bacon of rideable animals. There's some commercial that's like, never add bacon to food. It will just ruin all food.
It ruins all food.
That doesn't have bacon forever. And then they say like Hulu is the bacon of TV or something like that. I don't know. So dragons are like the bacon of rideable animals, basically. And so naturally, it's cool that she showed him the Valyrian steel because he's a smith and he's got to appreciate that. But also showing him the Valyrian steel, I think, may trigger to him like, ooh, maybe I can make some special steel with the dragon glass.
Oh, maybe. You might be onto something there.
It may not be a coincidence that Valyrian steel is mentioned during the scene where we see the dragon glass being smelted. You know what I mean?
Spirals in our world, it's like you can teleport through them. it's so hard to like, there's so many like symbolic reasons to bring in spirals to this world, but we know that they mean something. We know that they're a form of like communication or, you know, like writing or scribing. So what it means, I was really trying to figure it out. There are 8 arms to that spiral.
Ooh, interesting. It was very remindful to me of the Targaryen sigil as well, with like the sort of spiral shaped of the dragons.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
And that to me was like, I was like, oh shit, is that foreshadowing some type of connection between Dany and the Night King? And then I was like, oh man, maybe Dany gets turned into the Night Queen. What if the Night King, like if they're having a dragon battle or something and Dany gets knocked off her dragon and the Night King like approaches her and just touches her on the forehead and she turns into a fucking White Walker. How crazy that would be. Big surprise, right?
Yeah, huge. Gender specific. Gender specific.
Classic. Pox will have her by the ear.
Witch girl?
Witch girl? I can't wait to watch it again. The best acted scenes? Oh, hands down, just being... Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm going to imagine the ginger soldier with his face half burnt off is Ed Sheeran. Oh... Check out this next level Game of Thrones rap by Purpose from the hip-hop group Tragic Allies. This is from his new album, The Iron Throne of Microphones.
I'm one of my rough Lord Stark. You should have taken the realm for yourself. When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die. There is no middle ground.
War of the Five Kings, all making claims of their own. Thousand blades of Aegon's enemies making a throne. Fight for the Seven Kingdoms, fortune favors the bold. Bravest of souls, battling to gain the control. Baratheon brothers are at each other's throat for the merit. King Joffrey thinking hellish, hoping both of them perish. The young wolf marches on the south, fighting with hatred. What great joy sailing north, which is right for the taking. And now that King Robert's dead, the truth spreading rapidly. Joffrey born of incest and infested travesty. Stannis bearing arms. Now his claim is his majesty. Naturally, anyone opposing is a casualty, including his own brother, whose fallacy is blasphemy. Vanity cannot replace valiancy as tragedy. Tactfully, willingly, casually prepared for battle. The Red Priest's plans quickly started to unravel. Smuggled on a boat that Sir Davos had to paddle to a cove near Renly's camp where both of them would travel. Melisandre undressed and sat up on the gravel where she gave birth into a shadow raid in front of Davos. Very similar to Stannis, crawled out her womb and presumed to just vanish, and vanished to the sorceress' enforcement of a death.
The night is dark, full of terror.
Let us not forget, the shadow was moving calmer. The breeze from out the harbor headed right into the tent where Renly's taking off his armor. While looking in the mirror, he was taken by surprise. The shadow of his brother came to hasten his demise. Fly word spreads to every castle. Meanwhile, Robb Stark is winning every battle. The young wolf triumphant in the Westerlands and Riverlands. Independence from the south has always been the bigger plan, but ignorance was overdosed with a broken oath for a daughter whom now Walder Frey hoped elope. In an omen spoke by Lord Rickard Carstark, the curse of a kinslayer did play a large part. To lost bannermen and lost allegiances, getting even is fulfillment for some grievances. With Robb's army weakening and marching back to Riverrun, searching for some answers, but the answer is there isn't one. And so he's forced to make a choice by begging for forgiveness. Confront the Freys, admit his faults in front of all the witness. But Walder Frey's ambitious and vicious with his moves. His allegiance ain't consistent because it switches with his mood. Unfortunate but true, the consequence was sad and deadly for the young wolf whose confidence was cracked. Lured into a trap without detecting the deception, welcomed by the Freys and even offered full protection. A wedding and reception extended all the guests' rights so no one would expect it, and accepted as a blessed night. The wine would flow red, the music playing loud. Without a shroud, the killers blending in within the crowd, waiting on a signal when to act upon her scheme. Walder makes a scene and offers gifts into the queen, a knife to her belly with a baby as the passenger, King Robb slain at the Red Wedding Massacre.
Rosalind caught a fine fat trout. Her brothers gave her a pair of wolf pelts for her wedding, signed Walder Frey.
Is that bad?
Stark is dead.
Balder Frey gets all the credit. All the blame, I suppose, depending on your allegiance.
Never would have risked such an action if you didn't have certain assurances.
What you got from me? Do you disapprove?
I'm all for cheating. This is war. To slaughter them at a wedding.
Explain to me why it is more noble to kill 10,000 men in battle than a dozen at dinner.
Right, that's our show, episode 110. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening, guys. We love you.
Yeah, and a huge thank you to Lord Matt of House Christensen, Champion of Liberty, for joining us today.
Yes, thank you, Lord Matt. We were so happy to talk to you today. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, definitely. And another huge thanks to John Bailey, the epic voice guy from the Emmy-nominated Honest Trailers, for announcing our show. If you'd like to donate or subscribe to support us, you can go to paypal.me/gompodcast or patreon.com/gompodcast to donate an amount of your choosing. There are links to both at gameofmicrophones.com.
Doing some online shopping? Go to gameofmicrophones.com and click on our link to Amazon. As an Amazon associate, we earn from qualifying purchases.
Any contribution you make helps, and you can help secure the continued existence of GOM. We'd like to thank our patrons, Sir Matthew of House Rep, Lady Lucy of House Roberts, Lady Candace of House Twos, Lady Terry of House Theodore, Lord Jeff of House Allen, Sirenicide, Lord John of House Grills, Lord Jeremiah of House Carpenter, and Luke, Low Duke. We love you guys and appreciate your patronage. And we'd also like to send out an additional thanks to Lord Bryson of House Wolf and to Tarot Spirit. Thank you for your donations.
Yes, thank you, guys. We love you.
And make sure to check out Sirenicide, the serialized horror drama podcast featuring me and Archmaester Stitches. Just go to Sirenicide.com and download it wherever you get your podcasts.
We also want to give a huge thank you to Lady Lisa of House Sky, Pie Romancer. She has been epic behind the scenes in getting our website, Game of Microphones, up and running. She's a next level artist, you guys. You have to check out her amazingly illustrated book, The People You May See. It's one of my son's favorite books. It's available now on Amazon.com, and it's Prime eligible too.
And I also have one of her pieces of artwork over here.
Oh, yes. I'm so jealous.
That she did.
So badass.
Thank you, Lady Lisa.
You can check all of her work out at fineartsbylisa.com. She's also on Instagram and Facebook /fineartsbylisa.
Next episode, we'll be covering Season 8, Episode 2, the name of which is still unknown. Give it a watch and send us your thoughts. We'd love to read them on the air. If you'd like to call, you can call us at 813-563-3739. That's 813-JOFFREY.
If you would like to write in, you can email us at ravens@gameofmicrophones.com.
Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/gompodcast.
Imslap!
Oh!
You can also listen to Game of Microphones on YouTube, BitChute, and Steam It. Just search for Game of Microphones to find our channel. Likes, comments, and shares are greatly appreciated.
We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Minds at GOMPodcast.
And we're on Tumblr, too, at Game of Microphones.
All right. That's our show.
Thanks for listening. May I ask, how are we meant to feed the greatest army the world has ever seen? While I ensured our stores would last through the winter, I didn't account for Dothraki, Unsullied, and 2 full-grown dragons. What do dragons eat anyways?
Whatever they want.
I've traveled to a bunch of random places and random countries. But as a Midwestern guy, I recently have been falling in love with what the more rugged parts of America have to offer to all of us before they're gone. Team H Productions and Powers Media House presents Beautiful America, a musical documentary series with all original content. Explore the southwest of America and indulge in some places you've heard of and plenty more that you certainly have not. Cooking under the stars and below freezing temps of Death Valley. 4K drone footage of one of the most insane monoliths on Earth. Driving in abandoned mines, cliffs, canyons, and wild times. Check it out. TMAGE Productions on Facebook and YouTube. That's TEAMAGE Productions. Beautiful America.